Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance with you. I am in Denver. Going to head home this afternoon. Lance is in studio, and off we go with another Astro in clinching the division. And just, it doesn't matter. That, to me, Lance, division wins, whatever. This team doesn't celebrate division wins, right? They celebrate. We got to get the home field advantage, which is almost a lock there, too. And this team just continues to pitch, to dominate. The hitting is, we'll find out whether or not, you know, how good the hitting is against great pitching, but this is a playoff team. Now we're playing playoff teams at Baltimore over the next, 10 games. So Tampa's going to be in it, and you can ruin them and let them know that, you know what, if you get to the postseason against the Astros, guess what? This is what you're going to get. Slap, slap, slap. Oh, Lance just decided he had to hit the head. All right. So anyway, RJ, you and I.
I literally was watching stuff on my computer and didn't even realize. Like, I heard you talking from the other room. Like, holy crap! It's 7.
There's that thing.
And I heard what you were saying. I mean, so I heard the whole thing. As I realized, I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if he's going to give me enough time for me to turn my headphones on.
Do you realize, too, that there's a thing on the wall? It's called a clock.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at it.
Yeah, you didn't look at it. Okay. You didn't look at it. I got you. All right. this is so good. This is just, and the fact
we,
that
we
they,
take it for granted. I really I'm trying to enjoy this as much as possible because here's the problem. You know, like, one thing you learn in life is that you look back and you look back at times and you think, man, I wish I would have known what was going on at the time so I could completely appreciate it. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's a weekend, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. Maybe it's your kids, a certain, you know, age with your kids. This Astros run from 17 to question mark is something that I hope people appreciate because it is truly a run that is starting to mirror. It hasn't run as long yet, but it's still in the middle of it. What we saw with the Braves. Now, hopefully you win more titles than one like the Braves did. But what an unbelievable time this is to be a Houston Astros fan. As a lifelong Astros fan, I have never seen it this good for this long. It was pretty good from 2007. They were just an okay team, but they had Bagwell Biggio. I'm sorry, 97. They had Bagwell Biggio, not a whole lot else from a hitting standpoint. They got into the playoffs. But from, you could say, okay, from 97 to about 2005, 2006 in that neighborhood. But it's not like this. Like, these are ALCS. You couldn't even get out of the playoffs when you were the Astros in. You had, so even in 98, when you had a what looked like a really good team, you gagged in the playoffs. I hope every Houston sports fan, as someone who's a lifelong Rocket and Astro and Houston football fan, it's never been like this. There's never been a time where the Oilers were like this. There's never been a time that the Rockets had this level of run, although, you know, because Olajuwon had a good run, and then there was a stall, and then starting in about 92, it started to creep back, and you had a nice little run, including two championships. So I would say that Rockets time is one that you could take a look at. But, John, this is just, you know, we're talking a 162-game schedule. They give you so much. There's so many storylines. Yeah, the offense isn't what it used to be necessarily, but the pitching is, man, appreciate this pitching.
It's unbelievable. But it, going back to that Rockets time, let's not forget in 95 they were a sixth seed. So it's not
like
they
were, great regular season, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they were dominating the league like this team is dominating the league.
Right.
This team is a number one seed or two seed or, you know, just the COVID shortened season where they were 29-30 or whatever they were. They played 50, whatever they did that, mm-hmm. that season, and they got into the playoffs, luckily, but they still made it to the ALCS. Now, this is a Braves type of run, only you got to win more than one. That Washington loss, Game 7, with AJ's decision to leave Cole on the it could haunt this organization for years just because you didn't get that one that validated, you know, the run. And, you know, but they would have said they were cheating at that point too if they would have won it. You notice that team doesn't get the crap because they didn't win it,
right?
I mean, they said and the commissioner in the report said that they had stopped. I don't know. Carlos has told my buddy, yes, we did. We were not doing it then. We actually stopped it in the next season. And everybody says, well, why would you do that when you were winning? You're full of BS. I don't know. No one knows. But here's the deal. Is regardless, right now we know that this team isn't, and we still know that this team is by far the best team in the American League. It's going to be a battle over in the National League. The Mets made it into the postseason last night. It's going to be a battle. I can't wait to see. I've watched very little National League baseball. I watched some last night as I was at the Giants and the Rockies game, and it I'm going to tell you, this park, everything you hit, it just is unbelievable. It just jumps off, and it's you're like that ball. You're like, was that ball really hit at Minute Maid? I don't know if that's a home run the way, but it just keeps going. The ball just keeps on going and going and going. And there was all kinds. I'm sitting with my buddy. Justin came along with me, and we're on this trip. And I'm like, we really don't appreciate the pitching we have. We really don't appreciate that because it is unbelievable how good. When I'm watching those guys pitch last night versus what we watch, it's night and day. It's like this is the minors, you know, the non-playoff teams that just don't mm-hmm. have. It's just amazing what we have. And Luis Garcia last night, you know, Urquidy's the only one that's really scuffling now here down the stretch. So all of these decisions that they're going to have to make for the postseason roster and the postseason starters and the bullpen and everything else. I love that Hunter Brown comes out for three innings.
Oh,
is that telling you something?
That's fantastic. It's basically that should be terrifying for the rest of the league is that you now have, I mean, potentially depending on how you work this, you now have Hunter Brown and Christian Javier as two second starters in a game that can go deep. And you know, I get the Presley stuff. He's the closer. But, man, if you have Christian Javier or Hunter Brown dealing, let's say it's Urquidy who goes six innings and Javier comes there, 5 2/3, and then Javier comes in. If Javier's dealing, you know his span of pitching and how hard he is to hit one and two times through the lineup. If he's on a roll, let him go from 8 to 9. There's no reason to me that you have to take a guy with potentially lesser stuff. And Hunter Brown, you know, I'm not going to say the same thing for Hunter Brown just because he hasn't had enough major league, you know, experience. But Hunter Brown being able to go 2-3 innings in relief, I mean, that is major. I think what's going to be interesting, John, is that a lot of baseball fans, and I know that, you can get a little bit, what have you done for me lately? Because Urquidy has had two games where he's given up 6 runs. I think Dusty is going to take the totality. I don't think Dusty is going to be swayed by the most. In other words, if Urquidy was going to be 4 10 days ago, he's going to be 4 today, despite having two bad games. Now, is that right? I don't know. I think baseball is a game of streaks, and you have to incorporate that. With that said, if you're going to play it by the streaks, then Every time somebody puts together two bad games, they're done. You have to take them out of that four-man rotation if that's what's, you know, if you're trying to put your four-man rotation together. If you take Urquidy out now, then are you going with a rookie, Hunter Brown? And if you do, I do wonder if that's going to have some repercussions for Christian Javier down the road. If he says, I've been here doing this all year, really for 3 years, and now I'm getting shifted to the bullpen for Hunter Brown? Okay. I see how this is.
I think last night it showed we got to see Hunter Brown out of the bullpen. And I you can't give Hunter Brown that four-star.
But what if Urquidy, I think it's more likely Luis Garcia, if you want to know the truth. Even though I think Garcia, out of all these guys, John, I think Garcia is last, and that's really telling about how deep this is. But I think Garcia is probably behind Hunter Brown stuff. Christian Javier and Urquidy would be Garcia. And there's three guys ahead of them.
Yeah, I think we'll find out. What'll be interesting to see is if you see Urquidy do what Hunter Brown did last night, right?
Come out of the pen to see if he can.
It'll be interesting if they do that with Luis Garcia or if it's going to be Javier. That'll be the teller.
I think they should try every one of those guys down the stretch just to see what happens.
I think they almost have to. Listen, Javier deserves that four start. I don't think there's any question with his numbers and the way he has pitched. And if you want to go in against a really great big league club, look what he did against the Yankees. I mean, how in the world? He absolutely deserves that. He's continued to pitch like this. I've been a big Urquidy guy for years now, but you know the way he's pitching down the stretch, there's no way that you can deny Javier that fourth start.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be McCullers in three and Javier.
But if they view him, if they say, okay, let's leave Urquidy out. Let's say Urquidy's not got his best stuff. All of his Statcast numbers are down. I think they're more likely. I really honestly believe they're more likely to say, let's go Garcia because Javier has too much value to us out of the bullpen. The problem is they're not going to use him like on an every other game basis. They're only going to use him one time every four games. So, I think there's more value in him as a starter. I think he's a pitcher who has proven that he likes to start and get momentum going as the game rolls on. He has not been as successful in shorter stints. I just don't think psychologically he's that same guy. I think he may be one of those guys who ramps up during the day before a start, and there may be something about him, you know, in the longer warm up time on the mound, as opposed to okay, Javier, get up, you're going to be going.
No,
get up now. That may not be what suits him best.
Yeah, we'll see, we'll find out. But you know what, he may not have a choice with the way that he's thrown. It's a results-driven business, and especially with how good.
No, I think he'd rather start. I mean, I think he'd rather start. I just think Dusty and the squad may see him as more valuable out of the pen, John.
Well, feelings be damned. You know what? This is a business, and we got to win. So whoever is best is going to get there. When we come back, holy crap, what are we watching with this Bills team? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. This is special.
Well, this is fit. Yeah, we'll get into that because if you're not watching what the Bills are doing, it is dangerous. This is what happens when you build and build. And honestly,
we
got to
go. Hey, whoa. We got a big break. Yeah. Jimbo's next. We got to do that. Ooh, okay, it's a good call, RJ. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let me hit you with QC Kinetics right now and what the experts at QC Kinetics are able to do for you and what they're able to do for my wife has been really telling up to this point. She's had two treatments so far. She's going to go through five different treatments because she's got a major issue with her right knee. And QC Kinetics is the leader in new pain treatments with advanced regenerative medicine. It's non-surgical alternatives. But a lot of times you're saying, oh, what are you, you're going to take these multivitamins and this echinacea? No, that's not what we're talking about. The body's a great healer, right? Well, they take the body's properties, healing properties, they super concentrate it, they put it back into the joints, and what you have is regenerative treatments that can restore and repair damaged tissue. And it's a damaged tissue that's causing you this chronic pain, back, hip, knee, you know, shoulder, whatever your pain is. You don't have to just go to steroid shots and surgery. You can go through QC Kinetics and see amazing results that are long-lasting and not temporary. Call right now, 713-913-5285. QC Kinetics can get you back on track. I promise you that much. 713-913-5285 for your free consultation.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You hear the music, your home for A&M football here in the city of Houston. Coach Jimbo Fisher joining us here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRP every week. Here on your home for the Aggs. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Boy, that was a tough, hard-fought win, Coach, but you got it. A must-win for your program. Coach, let me ask you a question. When Anais bobbled that punt, or actually we muffed that punt, did your heart go right to your throat at that point?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't make those kind of errors very often, and I think he's trying to do a little bit too much right there. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it made us nervous. I mean, that's the guy. And listen, there's not a better guy we have back there returning the punt, the guy we depend on more, count on more. But like I said, everything can happen, but he did a great job of fighting back. It's kind of significant of our team on the night. I mean, I think we didn't play perfect in any way, but moved the ball much better on offense, didn't finish two drives once we got to the 40 defensively. Again, played great red zone, tight zone defense, but still gave up long, four 12-play drives in the game, which kept it away from us. But at the same time, we did the things we had to do. We played physical. We had, adversity in the game. One, we had negativity because we got upset the week before. And kid dealt with that very well, and that's part of it, especially with a young team. We had some, we had to make some adjustments before the game with some suspensions and play without those guys, which were guys who were in our plan over that. Then we lost key players during the game. Mm-hmm. Another guy just kept stepping up. I mean, all the young guys, like a guy like Bryce Anderson jumps out at me, who came in and they played significant special teams time, but then played an outstanding game in the game. And guys were like, the epitome of what I tell guys, don't wait to play, prepare to play. When the opportunity comes, you're ready. And he jumped all over it. And, it was kind of a microcosm of how we played in the game. But we're competing well. We're not perfect. Got to get a lot better. And that's the encouraging thing. We're able to beat a top 15 team. We're not playing close, but we're getting better. And I look forward to playing this week against another top 10 team.
Coach, take us through from a suspension standpoint. That's something that happened. It was a curfew issue, I guess. And I don't know if there was anything that led up to it, beforehand as well. But when did you have to make that decision? And how was that addressing that team about those issues? Because that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. But like I say, we do things right. Try always do two things by a set of rules and what we're going to do. And it's done Saturday morning, early Saturday afternoon.
So you, Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris and HRMP. You made a decision to go with Max. How did he grade out, Coach? What did you think of him?
Played very well. I mean, made good throws, took care of the ball. Like I said, we had some opportunities. We got to clean some routes up for him because we got the ball down the field and had some real opportunities that we didn't get to where we needed to get to in the route trees. And then a couple times we got some pressure, but he took care of the ball, made good decisions. A nice throw, did turn the football over in some critical situation. Needed some more bats in the second half, but scrambled, pulled it a couple times, made a couple runs, and then played a very solid game. Continue to build on that and get better. Again, we got to get better around him and do all the things we have to do.
Coach, can you tell that that's a? They made this comment on the broadcast, but are you able to tell just in dealing with him that Max Johnson, son of former NFL head quarterback, Brad Johnson? Can you tell he's an NFL quarterback's son? Does he have certain elements of his play that remind you of someone who's had that kind of tutelage?
Well, I mean, he's been around it, he understands it, and his body language. And, we were blessed with, like I say, all of our quarterback. I mean, Haynes is a high school coach who's a tremendous high school coach, is one of the best high school coaches in Texas, his son, and you have a quarterback son. So, I mean, I think you got guys that have been around the game and understand coaching and different things that go on. And Max does that. Tracy's been around it. He's heard it. He's seen it. And relates and understands things as much to a coach's eyes as he does to a player's eyes.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The targeting calls, Coach, awfully difficult. It's so going so fast. But did you think they were the right calls? And you know, how, that's so hard to for a guy that's flying around.
You got to take the doubt out. The one was in a critical situation because we got them backed up. They're punting inside their 10-yard line. That was the thing in our job. The other guy in the game was outstanding, was a punter. Even though we didn't, like I said, score points in offense, the other times we moved the ball, they started inside their own 10-yard line three times, at the 1, at the 8, at the 9. They started inside, and then they never started above their own 25, except for one drive, which was the last one at the 40 when they pinned us back after the muff punt. And we got one first down and weren't able to get the second one. But that's the only time. So, I mean, I think, you know, those calls right there, we got to get some stops inside the 10, you know, when you get them pinned back. When you get the ball back, it's like an 80% chance you score points. But from that standpoint of that, you know, those are critical penalties, and we lost critical players, and guys stepped up. And listen, you got to, you know, that's the way things are called now. You just got to make sure nobody does it on purpose. But those are critical plays for us. And they scored on both of those drives. After those penalties, they scored on both those drives, and you know that just shows when you give up that. It's like giving up a big play in a drive. You usually give up points, and you do it the same way when they're. But the thing they didn't give up was touchdowns, and that was critical. And then the other thing is Albert Reed just getting a critical block kick.
Oh, that was huge. And you know, one guy I thought who really stepped up defensively that just kept flashing it when you needed a big play at a big time, and a guy with a lot of speed was Edgerrin Cooper. I thought from the linebacker spot. He did a great job sideline to sideline to kind of, you know, shorten the field a little bit, kept it from getting too wide for your running backs that's to turn the corner. Well, he was a good player.
It's a Coop game. He's athletic and really run. And that's the thing he's doing now. And he's always had that through his game. I mean, he can always fly. And now what he's learning to do is be more patient and gap controlled and not use that as a – he can. I mean, you always love to have that. As I say, it's like having nitrous in your tank, man. You can hit that button and go close spinning. You know, their speed and athleticism and playing in space in today's world is critical. But now he's really learning and doing a great job, in my opinion, getting better and better at it. And still has to continue to get better. I mean, that's not a criticism of him, but he knows that, of how to fit his gaps in between and make his read. And then when you put that on top of it, he can make those flash plays and those plays already. Mm-hmm. Somebody's starting to get out. He can just close that gap and get guys on the ground, and he's, you know, he's a very physical guy when he does it.
And had an impact in the passing game too. Had pass batted down where there was a pass that would have been a critical third down conversion, second or third down, and he got to the passing lane. So I mean, got that kind of same juice out in space.
Yeah, he does. I mean, that's Coop. If you go back and watch his high school tape, was a heck of a tailback. He played tailback in high school, and I believe that 1,000-some yards rushing. And, I mean, he was a very, very – I mean, a lot of people liked him as a tailback, productive as a tailback.
Wasn't Hansford a running back also when he came out or no?
Nah. Okay. Hansford was here before I got here. I believe he was a tight end when I got here. He was an offensive guy. Well, and I say that a lot of your best defensive players are guys who have that defensive mentality but have the offensive skill set. And what I mean by that, the ability to play with the ball, the ability to be around the ball, catch the ball, judge the ball, put yourselves in position to get it. And then when you put that with a very tough – physical mentality defensively, it makes for great players. And so the ball, when they're around it, they tip it, they get it, they intercept it. I think it gives them, I mean, to me, those are truly the best defensive players I've ever been around.
Well, that'll, you know, he played great, but coach, a lot of defensive backs are making business decisions and not tackling, but your guys, Jalen, Antonio, Bryce, Tyreek, they're all tackling. I mean,
you're judge. I mean, you get write-ups in the front, listen, they want to know how you tackle. You can say they won't make a business, they ain't playing in the league. You can go say that all you want. If you want to play in the league, you're going to have success in college. You're going to play. You got to tackle. And this game that's what it's about. Those body types and the nickel and dime situation, because everybody's playing nickel as a base, you know, 70% of the time. Being able to tackle in space and make plays in space is the name of the game now. I mean, you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to close. You have to be able to understand angles and play the football. And if you don't, you're not going to. We have a group of safeties and corners. I mean, Jalen Jones is getting him back. You know what? Jalen tackled very well in the game. For a guy that hasn't played much this year, first time he's really played, for him to get back on the field, he's another guy that jumped at me that made tackles. And, you know, big, long bodies that can make tackles, that's what when you go to the next level, those types of players and the guys that are making a difference at this level, those are very critical. Those are big things that go on in football today because the game is such a space game now.
Well, and here we go. Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Boy, Arkansas found out about getting a scare from an FBS team. Missouri State came in there with Bobby Petrino, obviously. But what did you, man, Arkansas was on a roll until last week, and then they finally put it away at the end. But what did you see out of Arkansas? What do you see?
Very good team, and broke the game open on special teams. The play that broke the game up was an 82-yard punt return.
Yep.
I mean, that broke it back. They were losing in the fourth quarter. But I'm going to tell you, this new transfer portal and the way there's players everywhere across this country and teams and players and things that go on, there is no – it's different than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I say that – I mean, everybody's got players, man, and guys, it's a different world, a different thing. So, say, you know, just because they're playing an FCS team, there's great teams everywhere that can play and guys that can go. And you think – because, you know, they get older guys and transfers. If you have younger good recruits or certain things, or you're just not ready that day or whatever goes on, there's a lot of different matches. You see in college basketball all the time with what happens now. The game of college football is totally different, and they have a good team. That Missouri State team is an excellent football team, and Arkansas is too. Arkansas has got a very veteran offensive line. They got 4 to 5 guys back. We know Sam's always been a great line coach. KJ Jefferson makes it go. He's strong. He's athletic. Getting him on the ground, not just throwing him, but his running, his legs, everything that goes on with him. They got a group of transfer receivers. Like I say, they've thrived. They've got about 9, 10, 11 guys that are making significant playing time for them that are total transfers. You know, you can regroup your team now. You got two choices. Do you recruit high school kids or do you go to the transfer portal? You go free agency every year. And they've gotten those guys in terms of receivers in, secondary guys in, bringing those guys in the secondary. Defensively, they're two linebackers. Drew Sanders, their top player on defense, he and Bumper Fool. Drew Sanders was at Alabama last year and playing significant time and leaving. Now he's over there. Drew is outstanding, can rush, can play linebacker. Bumper Fool's been there for a long time, the leading tackler. Up front guys are big, they're physical, they mix fronts, three down, four down, 8-man drop consistently. They'll play double cloud, they'll play quarters, and they'll blitz you. They do a good job there. Offensively, they can run the ball too. And special teams, the punter can hit. The kicker is excellent. He's 20-24 last year, long of 52. Kicks out of the end zone every time on kickoffs. Like I said, got punt returner. That's what broke it open. I mean, they've actually have a very, very veteran team. One of the oldest and most veteran teams we'll play all year.
That's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Coach, that's a 6 o'clock game. ESPN, of course, we'll be watching. Best of luck going up there to Arlington and taking care of them Razorbacks.
Yeah, well, hey, we got a great game to play. And got good thing about it, we got another great opportunity. And that's the thing. It keeps our kids' attention. We got to play well every week and take them just one at a time and find ways to do what you have to do to be successful.
That's it.
Good luck, Coach.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher. Is Bumper Pool not the greatest name in college football? I don't know. Maybe Crevassier. I don't know. But Bumper Pool.
It's up there.
And Bumper Pool's leading Arkansas in tackles. So
it's up there pretty high.
He's a great player, and his name is Bumper Pool. That is awesome. It's just awesome. If my name was Pool, I don't know how you
not swimming.
It. You can't name it better. You cannot have a better name if your last name is Poole. Not Terry Poole is not better. There's no better Poole. Period. Exclamation point. Bumper Poole. All right, taking a break. Jimbo Fisher brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and HRMP right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk right now about the Golden Nugget. Let's talk about watching your college football games, your pro football games, watching your Monday night football, whatever it is that you want to watch. Your football, your baseball, you want to go there for the playoffs and you want to bet on the playoffs or just during the regular right now. You've got every single major league game that you can bet on at Golden Nugget because you got the DraftKings Sportsbook. What a great getaway, just 2 hours down the road. You know, I'm telling you, I think, I don't know why you would have to go, why you have to go to Las Vegas now. That 5 hour, by the time it's said and done, by the time you go to the airport, by the time you park the car, you wait for your plane, go through, you fly there. It's good 5 hours, 6 hours before you get to your hotel. Here, it's just 2 hours down the road. You've got all of the amenities that you could possibly want. Beautiful pool, restaurants, a casino, a sports book, a poker, a golf course, everything you could possibly want. And it's 2 hours down the road. If you're looking for a great getaway, and it's going to be a heck of a lot easier in Las Vegas, it's the Golden Nugget. The Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Let's go, baby. Let's get there.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Yeah, there's something on your mind. A better way to live your life. I hope you find it. Hey, there's something on your mind. You gotta keep on moving. Yeah. You might find out
welcome
about me late, just
bench,
like the Earth's
with
curvature.
John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sorry, C. Neil LaCroix, if that is your real name. Pocket Pool is not a better name than Bumper Pool.
Pocket Pool. No one's naming their kid Pocket Pool. Speaking of that, let's get the Mark Sanchez sound. So, speaking of Pocket Pool and nicknames, sometimes, you know, you think of something funny. And maybe you'll be at your house, and sometimes I might put something in my notes in my phone if I want to bring something up. But sometimes, you know, play-by-play and color commentators, they like to separate themselves with catchphrases or funny sayings or whatever. Sometimes it happens organically, and there are other times where clearly they've got this in the drafts. In other words, they've been spitballing an idea, a comment, a phrase, and they have this in their saved file. Like, I'm going to use this when the time is right. When a certain type of play happens, I'm going to use this phrase on the broadcast. Mark Sanchez had one of those moments. Mark Sanchez clearly has been hanging on to this phrase and hanging on to this descriptor for a while and finally had a chance to unleash it during a game.
I mean, Shelton's clearing out defenders faster than a teenager clears his search history on his web browser. Holy smokes.
I mean, that didn't just come up all of a sudden.
No.
Hey, I just thought of this. He's clearing out defenders faster than – he's had that going – he's had that for, I don't, maybe, probably just like, I'd say over under 6.5 months.
I heard that. It's so cool. It's so –
because
it's so rehearsed. Which came off worse? Him or Jasicki's dance?
Are you talking about his gritty or
yeah, he said oh my god, he combined four different dances. He said after the game, he said, yeah, I was practicing that in the mirror. It didn't come out as well as I thought it was gonna.
No, it didn't. Yeah. I think Sanchez's was actually just as rehearsed. Well, Sanchez's was even cornier to me because one guy actually scored a touchdown. But yeah. I don't mind this. You know, it's a funny little saying that he's got. It just felt really rehearsed. Like, where can I get this into the broadcast? Where can I get this in? That's why I felt like it was in his drafts folder where he knew he was going to find a way to get this in during the game. Maybe he actually thought of it during the week and like, okay, I'm going to find a time to get this in. What are the situations? Clear out, clear search. It could be an offensive lineman, clear it out. Yeah, probably have to be a block of some sort, and I can use his phrase. Okay, good.
So if you had Tua Tagovailoa leading the NFL in passing after 2 weeks, collect your money, okay? How about, I mean, is that not a bit of a – now, we did talk about all the weapons and everything else, but, you know, the one doubt was Tua. Now it's two games in, but the Tua doubters have got to be scratching their head a little bit about this.
Well, I don't think it's a massive surprise, and here's why. You have it's not like we didn't talk about this. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, nobody has ever had two more explosive players on the same roster, probably in the history of the NFL. I mean, these are both sub 4.3 guys. It's never one guy's the fastest I've ever seen, and the other guy's the fastest I've ever seen. I don't know which one's the fastest, but they're both unbelievably fast. They added two running backs. They had no juice last year at running back. Now they've added Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert to the mix. Jasicki's always been a good pass-catching tight end, but you had Tyreek Hill to an improving and a healthy Jaylen Waddle. It's kind of hard. And Tua is a guy who, you know, like, Tyreek had to wait on the one touchdown pass that cut the game to seven. But Tyreek, it's hard not to succeed with that. I'm not trying to take anything away from Tua, but I think when you have that level of playmakers and that level of explosive speed, I don't think it's totally unheard of that Tua. And then you add, by the way, Mike McDaniels, an excellent play caller and offensive mind. Yeah, these kind of things will happen. I mean, look at the growth of Ryan Tannehill out of nowhere with A.J. Brown. Whoa, look at this year. Oh, look, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are over in Philadelphia. Look what's happening with Jalen Hurts. I wonder how that's happening. And a good play caller in Shane Steichen. Then you added Stephon Diggs over in Buffalo, and all of a sudden Josh Allen, you know, takes off. I mean, there's something to this, John. These really A-plus wide receivers are really having a huge impact on some of these quarterbacks, without question.
No, I mean, and listen, that Mahomes has lost Tyreek, and he's still flinging it around, not as well in game two as he was in game one, obviously. Maybe it'll catch up to him. We'll see. But, having two guys, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek, who safeties have to
– It's unheard of.
Are you kidding me?
It's unheard of, and they can catch it short and take off. You've either got to – You got to worry about him deep, John, or you got to worry about him on a slant and with a slant and run for 30, 40 yards. I mean, it is a massive issue for everyone. As soon as they got those two guys, you know, my feeling was this is Tua, his over-under on touchdowns, which I thought was a joke, was like 24 and a half, I think. To me, that was a joke because you're going to – how do you not throw touchdowns to Tyreek Hill? I mean, it's almost impossible. He's going to be wide open. You don't. The whole thing about college to pro for quarterbacks is guys aren't running open. Nope. Guys aren't running free. Guess what? Guys are running free when you have Tyreek Hill. It's like being in college all over again. You got a guy who has, you know, 6 feet of separation. That almost never happens, but it happens with Tyreek Hill.
Yep, and he can wait on balls. Davis Mills would be a Pro Bowl quarterback if he had that those weapons.
I'm telling you now, I mean, it's not even a joke. Any quarterback in the league gets substantially better with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Now, but wait.
Now give him Jalen Waddle. Yeah. And Gesicki, well, I'm just saying with one, give him Jalen Waddle.
Gesicki has the best hands ever. He's unbelievable.
Oh, and a great
catches everything.
You know, his vertical is insane. He was an indoor volleyball player at Penn State. He was a really good indoor volleyball player. You could see it on that touchdown. That dude elevated. And then he's got sticky hands, like you mentioned. It's a problem when he's in the red zone.
They're the number one threat to the Bills?
That's hard to say right now. let's let some things play out in the West. But honestly, I mean, the Raiders look – the Raiders just a total gag job this weekend. 0-2. I'm not a Raider believer. The Chiefs still have to be a – I think it's still Chiefs-Bills. But Miami is coming up quickly. If Miami can, they got to be better defensively, John. Let's not forget the fact that Lamar Jackson sliced him up for five touchdowns. I mean, that was an issue. So, and Baltimore's offense is not the most explosive offense. So I think that's the big concern there. But when you look at the AFC, I don't think Mac Jones and New England have enough. I don't see anybody in the AFC South right now as it's concocted. I don't see anyone in AFC South that's going to be a factor. In the North, it's supposed to be the Bengals and Joe Burrow. I don't see that. It's not going to be the Browns. It's not going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I guess it's right. I mean, we're two games in, but it looks like, based on the way things, I still think the Colts will be a factor when they get their wide receivers back and Shaq Leonard back, because it's a weaker division. I still think the Bengals are going to be a factor. Other than that, you got the Chiefs, you got somebody else in the West, whoever that's going to end up being. I guess the Chargers maybe. And then I don't think it's going to be the Broncos. And then you've got Bills and Miami Dolphins. Yeah, I mean, that looks like the biggest factors. And Bills and Dolphins are in the same division. So it looks fun, though. I mean, it's – boy, the Tua – good for Tua, by the way. Good for Tua, who's gotten sliced and diced over the last 2 years. Good for Jalen Hurts also. Jalen Hurts, I was on a Philadelphia podcast last year, and I kind of, early in the year, I thought, I said, you know, I think Jalen Hurts is, I see some things I really like early in the season. I think Jalen's going to be okay. I think he's got a chance to be a better quarterback than what I expected coming out. Well, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was stepping into. I stepped into what I didn't realize was an uncivil war between anti and pro Jalen factions. And they had these huge fights in Philadelphia. And I had no idea what I was stepping into. And but one thing we know about Jalen Hurts, the kid from, where is he, North Shore, John? Or
Channel View.
One thing we know about Jalen Hurts that's been he's been famous for his whole career, extraordinary elite character, personal character, and football character, and a work ethic that is second to none, and leadership that is off the charts.
Let's continue that talk on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we got to talk about some tequila.
Oh, man, I love talking tequila with Maestro Dobel. Nobody is giving you the wide variety of tequilas quite like Maestro Dobel. They're great. They spend years in terms of just the aging process for many of these tequilas. But it's the process from start to finish with the combination of ingredients, how they are blended, how they are aged. The entire process has been fine-tuned over 11 generations right there in Tequila, Mexico. And if you think that's not a joke, it's Tequila, Mexico. It's real. And the experts there are, and the generations have learned how to create a variety of tequilas, añejos, reposados, the silvers, the smoke silvers, the cristalinos, that have unbelievable flavor profiles that are vastly different from each other, and yet all have the distinctive characteristics of that tequila. And whether you're a tequila sipper, whether you are someone who has margaritas or different types of cocktails, you like to experiment with different cocktails, you can just Google search a cocktail recipe with any type of tequila they have, you're going to find something that's really taken to the next level by Maestro Dobel. Make sure that you pick up your bottle or bottles of Maestro Dobel the next time you head to a liquor store. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find my friends from Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about betting. So, and we've been talking, we love to talk about betting here. We love to talk about gambling. We love to get on our websites. We love to do that. Our website, listen, if you're looking for the best site to get that bet on, it's not even close. The best site is MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Because they'll double your money to start with. Now, that is unheard of, really. You're not getting that. Yeah, maybe other websites are trying stuff like this, but these guys were the first ones that you put in $100. Now you got $200 to play with. You put in $1,000, you got $2,000 to play with. It's so good, and you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You can make up your own props. That's totally sweet. Pick a team, pick a player, pick a stat, and you make your bet. And they'll give you the odds. So if you think Davis Mills will throw for four passing yards or more, you put that in. Now, your odds are not going to be great. You're going to win $1 on a million-dollar bet, but you still can make that bet if you want. You get your winning season on right now at MyBookie. MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Nice, RJ. A little outfield for you to start your morning. A little outfield. 713-780-3776. Jalen Hurts is just awesome. He's got to be in the, I'm watching ESPN right now. Is he going to be in the MVP conversation the whole year? You and I both thought I bought him. I got him in the option in the auction. Mm-hmm. Our auction. I'm big on Jalen.
Yeah, he was proven
what a good player. I mean, can Philadelphia fans still be arguing this point whether or not Jalen's?
I was wondering that yesterday. Only people who want to be right. Like there's this Bengals fan who's like, Zach Taylor's got to go, and that's fine to have that opinion. But he said, I was the one saying that Zach Taylor should still be fired even if they won the Super Bowl last year. Okay, that's just an outrageous agenda. If you say a guy wins a Super Bowl and should still be fired, then you're just trying to be right. With Jalen Hurts, I think people who are anti-Jalen Hurts are just trying to be right. They're not trying to be accurate. We should always try to be accurate, not right, because it's the agendas that really screw things up. The guy's playing good football. He worked on his game, And I think Shane Steichen has been just a phenomenal play caller over there. I really think he does a great job with creating an offense that Jalen is comfortable in. You've got some zone read looks. You've got some RPO looks. You've got standard, you know, four wide sets. You've got a running game with multiple running backs that are hitting the holes hard. But, you know, what was interesting yesterday is it was not the A.J. Brown factory yesterday, John. It was Devontae Smith. And it was like Devontae didn't exist the game before. He had no catches. And then all of a sudden, Devontae Smith was, and I think intentionally, a big part of the game plan. And I think when you have two wide receivers that are that talented, that's an example of it. Tyreek, and we talked about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Now you're looking at Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. When you have two wide receivers with that level of talent, it is really difficult on defenses because the offense can basically just pick on, you know, if you get to the point where it's hard to play man-to-man defense because somebody's going to be a weak link and the quarterback and the offensive coordinator can really work on it. But I give Jalen a ton of credit because he didn't just talk about it. Jalen's in the weight room. Jalen's with his offensive line as one of the guys. Jalen works on his game. I talked to Quincy Avery. I was at his Jalen's pro day. Jalen Hurts pro day. And, you know, Quincy talks about the fact, man, this kid is just a worker. Like, he's trying to get better at quarterback things. He's trying to get better with footwork. He's still got a little bit of a wind up. I think he's always going to have that. But he's getting it out quicker. And I know that they talked about that on a broadcast. I think it was who did that broadcast? I'm trying to remember. I think it was Louis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky on the Buffalo Bills podcast, or was it there were two different broadcasts going on, and I'm watching simultaneously. I'm flipping back and forth. But whoever it was that was a color commentator mentioned the fact that Jalen in the offseason really worked on getting the ball out quickly. And, you know, that's a sign of that's what an NFL quarterback is supposed to be. He's supposed to be a guy who works on his weaknesses. You know, Jordan, Olajuwon, those guys, Olajuwon added something to his game every year once he got to a certain age because he matured and realized, okay, I'm going to add jump hook. Now I'm going to add baseline fadeaway off the jump hook as a counter. Jordan worked on his game in the offseason. A lot of players do. LeBron, Kobe, the best ones work on their games. And Jalen Hurts went in and said, okay, this is, you don't just do drills. You go fine-tune elements that are weaknesses. You have to be honest about yourself. And I think Jalen Hurts said, okay, these are areas that I need to correct, so let me go and work on those in the offseason. And the results are paying off so far in two games.
Absolutely. Have we seen the last of Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, no, not this early in the season. They were catching an ass kick, and I thought that was a great time to get the rookie in and get some experience for him. I don't think that's a change of the guard. Though. Yeah, no, he looked bad. No A.J. Brown, and this is expected. Like, he doesn't have his A.J. Brown. Tannehill's going to turn into Tannehill. Well, we are going to see, though, they're 0-2. If we hit an 0, I don't know who they have this week, but if we hit an 0-4, 0-5, a 1-5, because when they make the switch, it's going to be hard to switch back. Same thing with Kenny Pickett. Once you flip, it's probably a wrap, although I would say definitely in Pittsburgh, maybe with Tennessee. Tannehill's had some NFL success. Mitch Trubisky hasn't had success. So once they flip over to Pickett, it's kind of a wrap. With Malik Willis, I just think that was a good chance to get him some reps. I think Malik Willis, based on what I know about Malik watching him and studying him and what his weaknesses are, he'd be much better served playing behind Tannehill and learning Mahomes. John, I mean, his areas, his issues with reading defenses is a big problem right now, and it was throughout the preseason. They talked about it constantly, that he just wasn't seeing the defense right.
Let's get some calls in here. Ryan and Michael are waiting, so let's get Ryan in here first. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Got a question for Lance. Hey, remember a few years ago all the hate and bashing Howie Roseman got? And it was always kind of mind-boggling when you look at it in the bigger picture of all the great moves he's made, all the draft picks he's accumulated, all the salary caps he's cleaned up, getting Fletcher Cox and Slay and doing all the good things, and they still got future draft picks, and they look like they're, you know, a really good team that's a contender. So I just want to hear a little bit of input from you if you remember that, all the hate he would get just from Eagles fans and the media, and then now that time's played on, he looks like a genius.
Yeah, Howie, you know, and Howie really – still continues to get crap about Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. Hey, people miss, you know. I thought they drafted Jalen Hurts way too early in the second. Right now, Jalen Hurts, because he puts the time in, they've gotten some weapons around him. They got a good play caller with him. Jalen Hurts looks like the guy. I mean, Jalen's playing great. We'll see at how high a level Jalen can play, but for right now, it looks really good. And so I think Miles Sanders was a good pick. You mentioned what you know, he did a good job from an offensive line standpoint, picking up Jason Peters when he did, then drafting Lane Johnson, sticking with Lane Johnson through the, you know, through issues he had early on. I think Howie Roseman has always done a really good job in Philadelphia. Been smart, doesn't get himself in cap situations very often, drafts behind players early so that it's not as big an issue. Landon Dickerson, drafting him when he came out with a knee injury because they knew. I thought he's going to be the center of the future, but looks like he may just be the left guard and stay there. I think Howie Roseman does a good job. I think he's done a good job over
that's
there.
That's a really good football team.
It is a good football team, and they've had a standard for, you know, they slipped a little bit. But Philadelphia's been one of those standard teams, like along with Pittsburgh, along with New England. There's just certain teams that you know there's a more consistent standard with, and I think Philadelphia's been one of those teams.
Absolutely. Let's get Michael in here. Michael, what you got?
What's up, fellas? Hey, I was at the game in Denver, and man, they were giving it to Russell Wilson, but I wanted to ask you, Lance, like, to the – trained guy. I mean, you watch a lot of draft guys. I mean, it just looked like there's Davis Mills doesn't have anywhere to throw the freaking ball, man. So, like, it's hard to tell is he good or not because the team is so terrible still. And I wanted to also get your thoughts on Trey Lance. If Jimmy Garoppolo tears it up this year, is he done?
Man, well, you guys, Michael, you and John were at the game, so y'all could see it better. Was there separation? Was there anywhere to go? No. I think the one concern you have, John, is can he work in tight windows? Because if there's not easy separation, you still have to throw. You still got to throw leading passes, and you still have to, you know, you still have to get the ball out and try to make some completions. And I guess the big concern I've had, or that I've heard, not that I've had, but that I've heard from people who are watching tape on this, is that he's not making reads very well. He doesn't really have a post-snap plan. That's a concern for me.
Yeah. No, there's nobody running free. I mean, we got a tweet from somebody. Oh, he's trying to force it to Brandon Cooks, and when Nico's running, Nico's not running. Now, he did hit in on schedule a couple of times, a couple of nice passes, especially one to Nico down the field, and in the tight ends. You know, he loves to throw to the tight end. So, you know, that everyone is on schedule and guys are hitting seams and running with the ball nicely. But no, for the most part, no. And it's not like, you know, you got your one receiver, your second receiver, you're making your third read and that guy's breaking open and I've got time and I've got the ability, you know, he's not doing that. He was doing that a little last year. He really was. I thought he was going through his progressions and looking for that third guy and actually hitting him. He's not doing that this year. He's hesitant. He's not nearly as good. He's reminded me of he and Clayton Toon are having about the same kind of years, holding onto the ball and not finding guys down the field and not going through progressions and being hesitant.
And so this is where the offense coordinator and quarterback coach really come into play. Like we talk about play calling, but a big part of what they have to do is get their quarterback on the right page. Because they're having this issue in Chicago right now and in Houston. You got to get these two young quarterbacks to get out of read one, read two, and to read three when need be, or recognize based on the coverage where you want to go with the football. And I think that's the biggest concern you have is that, you know, is Davis Mills a chess player or is he a checkers player? Checkers players have to be, they can still be successful, but you just have to put them in fewer reads and situations like that. I remember that was famously Carson Palmer. They had to simplify the offense in Cincinnati to a two-read offense, and where he was reading more half the field, and it ended up having a big impact on a positive impact. You can do that with players all the time. You just have to, but it's going to be up to Pep Hamilton. If Davis Mills can't get to third reads and is not doing well against. You're gonna have to get some more predetermined throws into the offense. You're gonna have to. As far as Trey Lance goes, John, dude, what if Jimmy Garoppolo has a big year this year? Any chance that he re-signs with the 49ers and they move Trey Lance? I mean, they've already given up so many draft picks for Trey Lance.
How do we know how good Trey Lance is?
We don't. He hasn't played football in like 3 years, basically. Since 2019 is the last time he will have had a full season of action.
I don't know. I have no idea what you do in this situation, especially if they win and Jimmy is good. You're giving up on a guy that gets you to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game just because you don't like. I know he's limited. And oh, by the way, when they got to the Super Bowl, he was thrown for 83 yards a game in the postseason. But he actually got you there. So he's a winner. Jimmy Garoppolo wins. So you could be making a huge mistake, but we'll see if Trey Lance doesn't make that for him. 713-780-3776 is the number. I want to, when we come back, interesting about these new rules, Major League Baseball, what we could possibly see. An Athletic article that we'll talk about on the other side right here. Right now, though, let's talk about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff. I saw Jeff over at the Cougs game the other day. Big, big supporter of your Cougars. And one of the reasons is he's so successful with what he does with Absolute Marble and Granite. What he does is he comes and he changes your life. He changes your the amount of money that you're going to have in your pocket. What he does for you, he adds value to that home. You're going to win in this deal, okay? You've got to upgrade. How old are those cabinets that you got, the countertops that you got, that flooring that you got, the walls, the pillars, whatever it is? How about tearing out a wall and making you opening up your living room to your kitchen? Whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff can do all of this stuff. Got to be a big job, and Jeff Aronoff's going to get it done. Your bathrooms, how gross are they? Because if they are, you ain't selling that house, or people aren't going to come to your business. Whatever. You've got to upgrade, people. And if you're looking for a great way to do that, call Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.